And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba the Bloom, episode 326. Wrapping up our pockets of ADP, our fifth pocket, ADP 250 to 300, as we are ramping up Fab season. Before we get to that, some news and much, much more. You can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How are we doing, my friend?
The fifth pocket, the cargo pocket episode.
The cargo pocket. There you go.
Not there. I'm good, man. We've got some Australia Czech Republic on while we're recording. Nice to have baseball on while we're recording again. I missed that. I look forward to that coming back. Vegas is 2 weeks out. Opening day is 3 weeks out. So busy as hell, but yeah, tis the season. Tis the season. So doing well, man.
Tis the season. It's crunch time. It's like, you know, the finals coming up and you kind of missed a few classes. So it's time to get it together.
Speak for yourself, my friend. Speak for yourself.
I'm joking. I haven't missed classes. It's just everything's piling up, it feels like. So it's that time of the year, as you mentioned. And yeah, good to have baseball on again. I was watching that Dominican Republic exhibition game Tuesday night when we were recording our tout draft, which went swimmingly. So yes,
that was fun.
That was probably one of the more fun live streams I think we've done, maybe ever.
Probably lost our shot at a Fantrax sponsorship, but that's okay.
I might have lost my job at Tout next year.
You complaining about all the pauses in the draft. It was us looking up the rules in the middle of the thing with the league minimum innings. So lots of fireworks on Tuesday night, but no, it was a ton of fun. Thank you to everyone. There were a lot of you all in the chat kind of following along with us. That was a ton of fun to do. I'm glad we did that.
The number one stream Tout Wars draft out there. It was beautiful. Really good stuff. So appreciate you all for that. But that ends streaming season. We're done. We're done unless something really strange comes our direction. We are done streaming.
Yeah.
Let's have a little bit more to go. Yeah, it's time for us to hunker it down.
We've given it all we had in terms of self-deprecating drafting our team.
That's not true. We have plenty of that still.
Well, yeah, that's a feature all season long, I guess.
Yeah, that's built in. That's built into the show.
How many? So, what's your draft? What's your draft outlook from here on out? Now that we're 3 weeks out,
What do
you have on the horizon?
Yeah, I'll have at least one OLAC, maybe two. We keep discussing that, knowing my degeneracy, it'll turn up to two. It should just be one. We have Vegas. I'm in the middle of TGFBI, which count that if you wish. But we have OLAC, we have Vegas, and I know I'll do at least one, maybe two standalone leagues. So I don't have willpower like you. You're very disciplined.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. No, it's just fine. It's great. This is what we live for, Ryan. What are you talking about? Not good. But
until that first Sunday of Fab hits, and you're like, what the hell?
What happens is that first Sunday hits, I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing Fab for this league, this league. And you know the three leagues I'm talking about. So two of the three you quit this last year.
Is of the essence. For me, I have an auction next Friday night to prep for our Vegas auction. That's the OLAC that you speak of, the online auction championship. So I've got that next Friday night. I won't be streaming that. That's practice for the big Vegas auction that are on the following Friday, the 20th, something like that. Our listener league in Vegas Sunday, we've got that coming up.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Yes, that's another one I'm in.
There you go. There's your 15th Fab League. Then when I get back from Vegas, two more drafts. We've got the XFL draft with DVR. So we'll tag team that one. And then the night before opening day, actually while the Giants and Yankees are playing, is my family league, ESPN points league. Right. My oldest son is going to co-manage with Raj, and they're going to draft together. So let's see how that works.
That'll be awesome. Just make sure that Raj keeps his draft strategy away, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
on that one. So
I think I do know what you mean.
Yeah, so that'll be awesome. That's what it's all about.
That's the night before opening day. That'll be perfect. Yeah, that'll we'll cap it all off. That's a ESPN points league daily format, how I got into fantasy baseball 20 yeah. plus years ago. So
you've told that story online with many times, but I think on one of our Patreon only shows we talked about like people ask questions, how we got into this, so on and so forth. And that was a good one. That's what home leagues are supposed to be for. Like we joke about football, but where I live now, we've got a standing league where you have to be live to draft. And I've almost lived here for 20 years. It's been, that means it's, we probably had year 19, and it's still the highlight. We used to party till 4 a.m. and now we all have kids and we draft and have like 4 beers and leave afterwards now, but it's still good to get to, that's like the one time a year we get to catch up. So it's the home leagues are awesome. If you can yep. pull it off.
100%.
It's all about. Well, cool. We'll do that. I totally forgot about the Vegas draft's awesome. It's one of my favorite ones too, especially now that we can't fly out till freaking like midnight Sunday. So that'll help.
Sunday Vegas.
Last year we had to like rush out. This year we have time.
Yeah. So that's plus. You do. I do too, but you have more time.
Yeah. But all right. Let's get to some recent news and notes going around baseball. A couple biggies. Jeremy Peña was fielding ground balls for the WBC, and he took one off the tip of his nail. Just the tip, everybody. He has a fracture in the tip of his right ring finger, and he's going to be sidelined and reevaluated in 2 weeks. It kind of makes me wonder, okay, if it's a fracture, like, how bad is this if it's shut down and reevaluated in 2 weeks situation? But I think someone said they looked deeper into ChatGPT on this or something, and it's like a 5 to 6 weeks recovery. Do with that what you wish, but we'll find out more in 2 weeks, which means about opening day, we'll know the status of Jeremy Peña.
Or will we, right? Insert Houston.
It's the Astros. Yes.
They did fire their medical dude last year, so it is a new regime on the medical side in Houston this year. So let's give them a clean slate, but obviously sucks. Like, this is the kind of injury where, you know, what can you do? I know you have a ton of Jeremy Peña. It's just like, really can't do anything to prevent that. You just hope it is 2 weeks or whatever. Minimum stay on the IL if it has to be on opening day, and we're good there. I guess temporarily, Isak Paredes gets some life, right? It sounds like Carlos Correa is going to swing back to shortstop for a little bit, open up third base, and Isak can slide in there and at least start the season potentially in the starting lineup.
Yeah, that's the initial look. Is Correa is going to move to shortstop right now? They already said he's going to start taking reps at shortstop, which means Paredes will play third for the time being. Now, for how long? $1 million question. Because again, what if this is all of a sudden it's like, okay, he's going to be back, like he being Peña, be back like mid-April. So that's not even that big of a deal. We'll see. But there's a lot of what ifs in this process. Like, I'm nervous just because it sucks. I like Peña. I didn't have as much Peña as I thought. I mainly have him all on underdog because of his price tag. So that's a bummer, of course. But yeah, we'll have to see how that one continues to play out. But if Paredes can get some more playing time, that's obviously huge. We've talked about it many times. We talked about it in the Tout stream that we'd love to draft him. He just has no job. So it makes it very complicated. So, yes.
And he may not once Peña comes back. So
that's the thing. So you might draft him, and then we find, like, that's why I said, it's like if Peña comes back middle of April, like, that doesn't do much for you.
Right. Yep.
And not to mention Shea Whitcomb had 2 home runs. In the WBC on Wednesday evening, I guess, as he's playing for Korea, I believe. And Zach DiZenzo for the Italia. I got sidetracked here for a second. So we know the Vinny P love that I have and others have. And he's full on to embrace the Italian. He's the man for this. Did you hear what he did for Zach DiZenzo?
I did not.
So I was reading this on Twitter. And because the Vinny P, I believe your boy Jack Kags is also on Team Italy. And so for some reason, they ended up at Dalkin Stadium where Houston has their spring. And the second Vinny P got there, he got one of the grounds people, the locker room attendants, and they had him deliver a white tank top to DiZenzo and says, now you're a part of the family.
Oh, God.
It's like we're going full Italian up in this place. I love the
kiss on the cheek, and that's awesome.
They come with a bottle of Rouse Marinara, or what are we doing here? But sorry, had to sidetrack that. But yes, we'll see how that plays out with Paredes. All right, Hunter Green. This is another not great at all situation. Hunter Green has been shut down with a pain in his elbow. I mean, he's not Stanton. It's just elbow. He's going to get an MRI on said elbow. Green says it's not a UCL. It's more potentially bone spurs in the elbow. He apparently was dealing with this pain in the postseason or end of season last year and pitched through it because he wanted the team to get to the postseason. Okay, love the Warrior mentality. Same time, not great. So yeah. This is something that's been lingering is what that comes to me with. And I'm really concerned, Ryan.
Very much concerned. And this is one, unlike Jeremy Pena, when how could we see this coming? I think we could see something like this coming with Hunter Green. It's just been constant injuries throughout his career so far. So this is rough. We will know more. I mean, again, probably dating ourselves by saying we don't know what the result of the MRI is, but even if it comes back, like there's still elbow pain there. It's in quotes, just bones. So I shouldn't do the actual quotes because who knows what my AI camera will do. Just bone spurs like that. That's not great either. We saw that what happened with Bryce Miller last season with just bone spurs. So this is, I think, this takes a very sharp hit to Hunter Green. We have the word devastating in the chat from Mr. Grouch. Wouldn't quite go devastating yet, but it's things are trending towards that. So we'll see, but it's tough. If Hunter Green's out for a while, like Chase Burns is obviously in the rotation, but Rhett Lauder probably gets a shot. At your own risk, but very, very tough news for Hunter Green drafters.
Yeah, the really sad part is it makes Andrew Abbott their ace technically, which is
sure.
I still think it's Piccolo,
the ditch digger is number two.
Yeah, well, because he's just an innings eating machine. That's why he's the ditch digger. But
Lodolo's the ace anyway, even with Hunter Green.
I was just about to say the end of the season, Lodolo's the ace no matter what. That's where I was going with that. But
even with Hunter Green.
Need to get a Lodolo jersey or something for your emphatic love for the man. It needs to happen.
He's good.
Maybe you should wear one at the draft like everybody else will do in Vegas. They all wear jerseys. Like, I don't plan on it, but most people do. I'll have a Bubba in the Bloom. I'll Bubba in the Bloom gear on. We'll be good. All right. Ignore the spelling on the paper. I just noticed, not sure where that came from. But Jerks and Profar was suspended 162 games for a PED suspension, folks. Tested positive, just like he did last year, and he missed 80 games. So this is round two. Round three is permanent ban from baseball. So keep that in mind if this were to happen. And he is appealing the suspension. Do with that what you wish. Like, I'm sorry, you've already been busted once. I don't know how you beat the appeal, but maybe he does. So Jerks and Profar, just cross him off your list, Ryan, with Profar out. He was supposed to be the DH. So now good old Dom Smith might be back in our life, which is awesome because I actually like him in 15s.
What?
I think he's very good in 15s, like deep, deep good in 15s. Like not a must all the time, but quite serviceable when he gets his chance. But
I'd rather have Dom Rello on my team than Dom Smith.
Well, naturally, but we can't all have that kind of fab money sitting around. So what are your thoughts on the Profar situation, I guess, since you don't like Dom Smith?
Personally brutal, just because I have a ton of Profar. Folks that have listened to our shows this draft season, both in the pockets of ADP and also outfield preview, one of my favorite buys at the price. So this one stings, and I guess who could have seen this coming, but I don't know, did it once, so do it again. I have no read. Dom Smith jokes aside, I have no read on what the hell the Braves are gonna do.
I think they make a trade or something. They can't just do this.
I mean, the rumor was Isak Paredes would kind of that would fit, but given the Jeremy Pena news that we talked about earlier, maybe not so much now. But yeah, and honestly, on the current roster, I don't think I would target any of the DHs unless it's a really good kind of streaming week. So I don't know. I think the Braves will do something.
Yeah, I think they should. And honestly, if they have a good deal, Houston should do it because they need to move him anyway. So take what you can deal. Like I said, you got Whitcomb, you got DeSenza, you got options for a few weeks if you have to do it. That's again another conversation for another day. But see you, Jerkson. Yeah, Jerickson. It's been nice. Milwaukee Brewers. This one kind of creeped up on us as well, Ryan. We already knew Brandon Woodruff was getting slow played. We were hoping opening day. That has obviously been in question for a while. Quinn Priester joins the conversation. So it basically says, hold my beer. Quinn Priester, towards the end of last year, was dealing with a wrist injury. Apparently, that's not gone away, Ryan. That's what's coming out of this. So the Brewers are slow playing Priester because they want him for the end game. They're not so worried about opening day, which I get. Makes sense. But this just popped up, and it's highly unlikely Priester is ready for opening day. And we actually still don't know the full extent of the injury. Just know it's a lingering wrist injury, which the fact that it's lingered this long is not great either.
Right. And then you've got, like, so, I mean, just Priester aside, like, yeah, the longer this lingers, you get worried. I think Priester might be in his pocket, so I think we'll talk about him. Maybe he was in yesterday's or last week's pocket. Jesus, I'm all over the place. But this, I mean, the Brewers rotation, just in general, like, that's something to watch over these last 2 weeks.
Say it.
Kyle Harrison. Yes. Is that who you want me to say? Kyle Harrison.
We got to do it. So, this guy's new changeup.
If there's no Priester, Brandon Woodruff is very much in doubt. There's already competition for the last couple slots. Like Logan Henderson, we'll talk about tonight probably. Chad Patrick Chad, Brandon Sproke, Kyle Harrison, Robert Gasser could be an option there too. So, like, I don't really have an in on what's going to happen with the back half of this rotation, but there are some interesting names that I just rattled off. I mean, Sproke was a big time prospect. Kyle Harrison, we all know how much. No, we love Kyle Harrison.
Love him.
You're talking about his changeup, I guess. So that's
There's been reports have come out that when he was with Boston, they started trying to teach him a kick change. He went to Milwaukee, and they like really established it. In his last start, he was throwing it pretty well. Just three innings. Only three innings, but we talk pitch mix changes, and we talk velocity in spring, right? And this is a big one. Yeah. If he can develop a changeup, that could help him a lot, because it's always been control with Harrison, and he needs another pitch. Like, that's just a big thing. But as Cecchini says, not Gasser. Gasser is very much in the mix. Like, there's gonna be multiple openings, just to the point Ryan made. Like, does Henderson pitch all year? No. Like, I'd be shocked.
Right.
The Miz, I don't want to wish injury on people, but when you pitch like that, it's not great.
Right.
So there's gonna be chances for a lot of guys to pitch in Milwaukee this year.
Absolutely. So that's definitely one where I'm keeping tabs on these last few weeks and starts, because I think all these guys are in camp. I don't think they are.
None of them, not that I'm aware. I don't think any of them disappeared to the WBC. So, like, these are names that I guarantee you, when we're in Vegas, they will be reserve rounds or dollar even some, but mostly.
But could be mid rotation guys for you. If I mean, and those are the types of picks that, like, you kind of dive into the news and you stay on this, and this is the kind of stuff that people who are really in on this stuff figure out.
We used to know a guy that covered this for us, but yeah, not around anymore. So T's and P's, MLBplayingtime.com. All right, go to your neck of the woods, the Mariners. Bryce Miller he had a side injury, aka an oblique injury. It was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen, Ryan, because he had a side injury that immediately got a PRP injection. I haven't heard that very often. He was shut down for like 5 or 7 days or somewhere in that ballpark. Started playing catch on Wednesday. Still no sign for when he'll pitch on the mound. Right. But just getting your thoughts here as he slowly ramps back up. We're already concerned about him to begin with.
Right. I think at this point, opening day, I don't think that's happening. Reading the tea leaves here. And I'm just to this point for me, unless it's super duper late, almost reserved, Bryce Miller's, I'm just not touching him. Given the elbow stuff last year, now this side and PRP, and given where Bryce Miller is at in rehab, I'm not drafting Bryce Miller. Emerson Hancock, higher velocity this spring. Look out.
Yep.
Tongue in cheek, people. The velocity is higher, but it is still probably Emerson Hancock.
Yep, his velocity's up. But I will say this much, Ryan, for your boys, Cade Anderson's getting another start on Friday, and he's looking real good, and the hype train is fully behind him. And he's one of the guys that Eric Cross on my show talked about with Bench with Bubba. There's other prospect guys that have talked about it. I believe Sokolsky even wrote about him for the draft kit, that people didn't think he'd start the season. He also didn't think he'd have an opening to start the season. But he was one of the names that people thought could jump quickly because he was a college arm that could move. So, like, he's almost 22 already. So it's not just like he's extremely young. And then the other name prospect-wise who's 20, he's a year younger, to just keep an eye on is Ryan Sloan, who's dazzling people in camp. Two young guys that will likely be a part of an article next Wednesday at baseballhq.com. Let's just put it that way. Those will be part of a conversation to be had about potential playing time tomorrow, one might say. All right, a few more here. Kyle Stowers, maybe back in a week or so. He has a hamstring injury, started baseball activities on Sunday. He's supposed to start a running progression this week. So the hope is to have Stowers back in game action in 7 to 10 days. This is hope. So the hamstring injury is worse than I think people initially thought. Usually you think his injury is he's day-to-day. This was a legit, like, IL stint is what this came down to with the injury. Something to monitor is all I'm saying. Soft tissue injury already this early in the season. Just keep that in mind.
Yep. Be happy it happened now and not during the season, because, yeah, this probably would be an IL.
Yep. Xavier Edwards left with Thursday's game with calf tightness. I have not heard any further news on that one, but calf tightness for the guy that all he does is run
doesn't right. work. Not ideal. You'd rather have tennis elbow.
Yes. Would you, Ryan? Would you rather have tennis elbow?
I don't know. I wouldn't wish it on many people.
Yeah, the way you talk about it actually really gets me concerned over there sometimes. You know, never mind. I'll stop. Cedric Mullins, he was scratched on Wednesday with a lower back tightness. He's expected to miss multiple games before potentially ramping back up. So it's like a maybe middle to end of next week before you see Cedric Mullins back. Just something, once again, to keep an eye on, because the fact it's not just like a day or two like some of these other injuries, this is like a week we are going to be missing a guy, which, again, in spring, maybe it's just being extra cautious. At the same time, these kind of injuries linger, as we talk about.
Yep. Not worried yet.
Yet. Were you ever worried about Cedric Mullins, though?
Never worried about Cedric Mullins. Why would I ever worry about legend?
The legend. All right. That wraps up the news notes for us on a Thursday evening here. Ryan, let's get to our final pocket of ADP. ADP 250 to 300. What are we looking at tonight? There's actually more green than I expected on one of these sheets.
Final pocket, cargo pocket, probably because it's strikeouts and there's a bunch of relievers in here, which is the green you're seeing. So that's probably what that is. All right. So 250 to 300. And again, just to kind of give you guys a frame of reference, in 15 teamers, this is still like round 17 through 20, something like that. So this is still like a common theme tonight. We'll be kind of shooting for upside, but in 15 teamers, you still do need these picks. I think in 12 teamers, these are kind of your last few starters / reserve rounds. And I think that's a kind of a totally different way to attack these things. So in 15s, I'm still, you know, I'm obviously shooting my shot on some of these guys, but there is a need for stability, not even depth. Like, these are your starters. So I think a lot can change based on your league format, on kind of your approach to drafting these guys. Three, I guess. Riley O'Brien, ADP 251. Robert Garcia, which I really like at that price, 255. Edwin Ucetas at 258. Don't like that with the shoulder, and Kirby Yates all the way down at 300. So you can kind of do a Hail Mary here with like O'Brien or Robert Garcia if you decide to wait on your second closer and you have, I think, a reasonable shot at saves. And then I think a very interesting group of starting pitchers. These are pretty much all, like, you don't have the kind of like boring volume guys. There's a couple of those in here, but there are a lot of high upside, either skills wise and or injury risk wise, that are going in this group. I bet you, man, a handful of these starting pitchers that go, and we'll talk through a bunch of them as we kind of work through the show tonight. Bet you a handful of these guys turn out to be quite profitable at the price, because I like the ceiling for a lot of these starting pitchers.
Yeah, a lot of former studs that are coming off injuries, or young guys we might break out. There's a lot of what ifs here, so there's a good chance this pocket does produce when all things are said and done, or this bust, and they're easy drops, which makes them worth taking chances on in this range. You probably don't want to take a ton of chances, but one or two wouldn't kill you here. To your point about closing, it's pretty much up in smoke unless you are a Robert Garcia fan. I actually have probably too much Riley O'Brien. We're speaking of
you are a big Riley O'Brien fan, which could
work.
I'm
more of a saves gets away from you, and he's the closer in St. Louis. That's kind of how that one goes. What do you watch Live Hong Kong now?
Dude, they cut off the game end, or did they cut off the game for Live Hong Kong?
Australia won. They're 2-0 on the WBC. All
right. Never mind.
This happened last night. I got hooked watching Live Hong Kong. So, yes, we're good. There's nothing else on TV, Ryan. But yeah. No, it's pitching wise, it's not. It's a lot of take your chance and see what happens. A lot of upside plays in this realm for me here. What are you seeing on the hitting side of things? Because
it's rough. It's really bad. Rough. And I mean, so we are in Platoonsville. A lot of these projections are bad because there are playing time concerns for a lot of these players. I actually don't mind. There's some like, and I listened to your second base episode with Tid earlier today. There's a few second basemen that are fine here if you want to grab a late middle infield, I think can work. A few outfielders. There's definitely a supply of outfielders. There are, I want to say, roughly 10 outfielders going in this range out of 50. So, you know, you can debate the merits and quality of each one. There's a reason why everyone's going past 250 that we're going to talk about tonight. But there is a supply of outfield if you need to get kind of your fifth outfielder at this stage. So I like that. But biggest thing I see, I mean, it's just a lot of, as Ben put in the Discord earlier today, we got to throw these boards back on the grill, man, because there's a lot of rare steak red on these things. There's just no power. There's only a couple guys projected for over 20 home runs, Trent Grisham and Jake Berger, Stanton with 24. Not really. There's a few batting average guys, but they will cost you elsewhere. You've got your Luis Arias, Alec Bohm, Brendan Donovan, Jung Ho Lee, like those types that can get you batting average, but don't know what you're going to get in homers and steals. So it's just it's a tough spot to grab that bat compared to that. I feel a lot better about the ceiling on the pitchers than I do on a lot of these bats.
Yeah, you're taking a lot of risk on the hitters as well, but the risk on the pitcher seems a little nicer. To your point on the hitters, if you wait on second base, there's a few. Otherwise, you got between them and a couple shortstops, you got some okay middle infield options here. Otherwise, it's, you know, a few outfielders, but there's a lot I don't care for. Most of this area I don't care for. Like, there are, if you're a wait on catcher two guy, I don't hate this with Ohapi, Stevenson, and Jeffers. Like, honestly, that's not a bad, if you really waited on the position, problem to have.
Yeah.
I found myself with a lot of Ohapi or even Stevenson, and I'm not opposed to Jeffers. So, like, I have a rough idea who comes after this at catcher, but I wouldn't want to go too much farther than this. It's like Narvaez and a couple others. So this would be an area if you're not taking chances on pitching and you're not looking for a fifth outfielder or a second baseman, not a bad spot to get your catcher too if you waited this long. This would be a good spot to pick that up as well.
Also, why we've preached shortstop in a lot of it early in drafts, even the mid rounds. I mean, by this point, man, it's Carlos Correa, it's Mason Wynn, who I actually don't mind at the 282 price.
Looking forward to that part of the show.
And then it's EC Light rounding out the shortstop class here at pick 298, Ernie Clement. So that's all you have for shortstops here. Like there's, I actually like the second baseman more. Like shortstop's probably my least favorite position of anyone in this pocket, which don't really say that often for other pockets.
It's really interesting to me, like looking at the projections here. When I look at EC Light's projection, and to me, it's better than Brendan Donovan's. That just makes me chuckle. Just really chuckle.
Hey, anything that can get you to chuckle, I'm fine with. Even if it is a Ernie Clement projection of 11 homers, 10 steals, 259. Shit, that's actually not that bad.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not a horrible projection for the positional flexibility.
Yeah, like as I'm saying it, like
clip it.
No, the thing will clip it now. When you said that, I think
new so feature too, in StreamYard. Yeah. Like, it's not a bad projection looking at some of the other options out there. I'm like, huh, like he's better than Spencer Steer. Like, we don't have to make an Ernie Clement show, but
no, we don't.
Give some love to EC Light. The last thing we need to do
is turn this into an Ernie. We already do that with every Fab preview last year. So,
well, because he's just always out there and super flexible and costs you a dollar. So, it's great.
Let's move on.
All right, let's get some ADP battles in, Ryan, as we move on from this and make you a happy camper over there. What's your first ADP battle?
All right, so I mentioned the shortstops, or sorry, second baseman earlier. The three of them that I like here are Marcus Semien, Gleyber Torres, who are the top two, admittedly, on this ADP sheet. So it's ADP 250 for Gleyber, 251 for Marcus Semien. And then I did loop in Brendan Donovan into this group as well. So this is kind of your three options, I think, that are pretty effective if you're wanting to round out middle infield. Very similar projections for Gleyber and Semien. I guess you've got a better batting average for Torres and probably a better floor with Gleyber Torres than you do with Marcus Semien. Like, there is a chance Marcus Semien, you know, it's age 35, I believe. There's a chance this continues to go down and Marcus Semien becomes a Gene Segura all-star, which is someone who's playing every day in your lineup and just doing absolutely nothing for you. There is a chance for that for Semien. But I think the ceiling's higher with Marcus Semien. You could kind of flip that, and that's what I did in the speculator today at Baseball HQ. Just kind of look at all these old guys that could be this year's George Springer. Like, what if Marcus Semien goes back to the version that he was 2 years ago on a much better Mets team in a much better park than Texas has proven to be over the last couple of years? So I'm kind of leaning Marcus Semien and then Torres, and then probably third is Brendan Donovan. Always get those two screwed up. Just because I don't know with Donovan what you're going to get in homers and steals. We'll see. Maybe he could take off and be part of the kind of Seattle green light and get a ton of steals, but don't want to assume that. So that's kind of how I'd rank these middle infield options. You've also got the mascot Willie Castro in here as well. Probably should have looped him in as a decent option. Certainly gets multi-position eligibility, but I don't know. I kind of like the Semien and Torres options to round out middle infield or late second base.
Yeah, Semien is the end of my cliff at this position as a late second base. Obviously, there's a few more middle infield options, but Semien's the end of the road for me. Brendan Donovan's just a real good real life player. Fantasy kind of sucks.
Yeah, yeah. Would you take Willie Castro over Brendan Donovan?
Yes. I wouldn't take EC Life, but the fact I can compare the two, I should tell you exactly where we are on this conversation.
You brought him up again, man.
Yeah, well, I'm going to, because he's actually in the show. It's on the board. Like, he's right there.
Listed here.
He's actually listed here. It's not just fodder at this point in time. I'm not just.
What about all the other times you bring him up?
That's called irrelevant. Trolling. It's different. It's called foreshadowing. But yeah, Donovan's just, you know, good real life player. Fantasy doesn't really do much of anything for me. But I do like the Semien Gleyber conversation. I think it's really, really interesting. A, because the price is great. You know, Semien used to be such a high pick. He finally gets injured after years of playing every single day. Guy used to hit 20 to 25 home runs. He'd steal you like 15 bags. Hit like 260-ish, get you a ton of runs. Like, Semien was great. You could pencil it in until he finally got hurt. And, you know, maybe he's old and this is what's going to happen. Or he plays 145 games. He doesn't have to play 160 at this ADP, but gives you that production he used to give you. And he can still get back to 2010 with good batting average. Like, there's a lot of potential with Marcus Semien, especially at the top of a pretty good Mets lineup. So I don't hate him at all. Torres is a guy that, between talking with you, Ben, I said, looking at his underdog profile, it enhances his like overall skill set to me when I see his points that he gains. I need to respect Gleyber Torres more. It's a boring profile. Yep. It's not a 12-team profile for me at all. In a 15-team league, though, he is awesome. And this started when Ben was on my show last year. We recapped his successful main event team. He had Torres on that. And it really opened my eyes because – And if you look at Torres year after year, it's pretty much the same stat line. It's like 250 to 260 average. He's getting you like 17 to 20 home runs, gets you a handful of steals, gets you, you know, 60 to 70 runs in our, like, he just does the little things, but does enough, if that makes sense.
Yep.
To be very, very consistent. And if you're in an OBP league, Torres is great. That's one thing that's a pick. Yeah, 13.5% walk rate last year. It's been 10% or more three straight years. So that's tremendous as well. So to me, it's like, I think Semien's got the higher ceiling still than Gleyber Torres. It's all health dependent for me. Where Torres, you can pencil it in. Like, it's pretty sweet, obviously, barring an injury. So I'll take Semien over Torres. It's extremely close, though. Like, I've learned to really respect what Gleyber Torres does, especially in a 15-team format. There's a lot to like about a pick this late in the draft that you can trust, and you can trust Gleyber Torres. So I'll take Semien over Torres, but again, the caveats I gave you at this point in the draft, I don't mind either one right now. All right. That must mean it's good. It's quiet.
No, I agree. Yeah, for sure. I do think you have a good point on the 12 versus 15. So, like, in a 12, which other middle infielder are you taking, though, that has a higher ceiling even than Torres or Semien?
Well, hopefully in a 12, you've already established that before you get here.
Yeah, you're probably not even drafting one at this point.
No, but if okay. you literally
yeah, I guess
punted,
that's right.
If you,
yeah.
if you punted second base, then Semien would be my choice.
Gotcha.
That would be where I'd be at on this one. All right. My first ADP debate. Get the milkers out. Moo time. Colton Cowser going up against.
I could have. So where are we going with that one, man? Cool.
Oh, I saw Vegas in the chat. Got excited. Colton Cowser versus Trent Grisham. We have an ADP of 273 for Cowser, 269 for Trent Grisham. Kowser's a guy that I've always kind of liked, but you know, injuries last year derailed him in 92 games, 16 homers, 14 steals, hit .196. He hit .242 the previous year at 24 homers and 9 steals. I think he's more the 2024 guy. Again, maybe he's in between the two. The quality of contact was still outstanding last year. It was just a lot of other things that did not go well, but 26 years old, I think we have not seen the best of Colton Kowser potentially. Whereas Trent Grisham, out of nowhere, 34 home runs, hit .235. So the average has been in question for many years now, but the power literally jumped off the page. And so the question becomes, what does it regress to? Like, he could still be very good. We've talked about the pull power. We've broken down his per plate appearance in his career. Like, he's had skills, just never put it together. So for me, it's Colton Cowser versus Trent Grisham. And I'm going to take Cowser for the power speed. I think he is a 2020 guy. That stays healthy and kind of if he can get back closer to that .240 guy, like, this is a 2020 really good situation. There's what it feels like. So give me Colton Cowser in this one, because I just think Trent Grisham, I think regression could be very unkind. I'm concerned. Let's put it that way.
I mean, for Grisham, like, I mean, everything he did last year supported what he supported last year. I know the, you know, always the other side of that is like Trent Grisham's been terrible for years. So like, do we even trust that? I'm going to go Grisham. I still think this is still the leadoff hitter against right-handed pitching for the New York Yankees, hitting right ahead of Aaron Judge and company. Like, I think that's a very good spot to be in. Yes. Hitting in front, news alert, hitting in front of Aaron Judge, Bellinger, Ben Rice, Jazz, and company is a good thing. Whereas Cowser, probably hitting middle, bottom of the order. Cowser, and I know young players can improve. This is your mantra. But I think a 35% K rate, man, like, that's really, really bad. It's bad. The guy could be hitting .190 for you and thus destroying your batting average, even if he stays playing every day. But I think there's a floor here where Cowser, with other bodies that the Orioles can go to, although I don't know about him center.
That's the thing, is like, that Dream kept saying on my show is that there's no center fielder. Like, they have a ton of outfielders.
True. That's a fair. But again, if you're hitting .190 and you're playing every day, are you really helping?
They can find one too.
Right. So I'm going to go Grisham. I just feel, I feel like the bottom could drop out of Colton Cowser with that K rate, because it is really bad.
It is, and it's fair. And I almost bring half of these discussions up because I want someone to convince me on Trent Grisham is what it comes down to. I haven't drafted him yet. I've come so close. I just haven't done it. I can't bring myself to do it. But like you mentioned him, I feel like Ben's been on him, and some other smart people have as well. So maybe I should just suck it up and go that way, or just keep fading both like I do. That's the whole point of these conversations, is to break them down a little more to see where we're at. But yeah, we'll see. It is good hitting in front of Aaron Judge. Yes, better than hitting in front of Jackson Holliday. That is very true. I said it. You didn't have to. What's your next ADP debate.
All right. These guys, I think, are high ceiling guys, but for just different reasons. And the reason why I'm kind of doing this is it's not really just a debate these two players, because I have no idea how Kode Senga versus Joey Cantillo is going to play out this year. But I feel like I wanted to kind of debate their profiles for listeners out there. Kind of when we say you want to speculate on ceiling, there's kind of two ways I think you can do that. You can do that with a Kode Senga type, who we know has done it before and has been really good. Keywords when healthy. Kode Senga's older. We don't know if he's pitching right now, but we don't know if he's actually healthy. But like if Kode Senga throws 160, 170 innings this season, like that could be a massive boon. He could also not and do nothing and you drop him. Whereas Joey Cantillo, I feel like you're kind of safer in terms of injury. I mean, we don't know at the end of the day, but I feel like you're safer in that regard. But you're kind of speculating on the skills, and he's kind of like a one skill away guy with the walk rate. And so it's kind of, you got those two. You've got kind of the old injured guy versus the young up and comer who, if things click and can stay in the rotation and improve, you kind of got two paths to get to that ceiling. So I just think Kode Senga and Cantillo are two like kind of archetypes that represent different types of like ceiling players that you can go for. I don't really know. I don't really have a firm lean one way or the other, which one I like to do. I probably lean Cantillo. And if I'm picking between, I know I have a lot more of Joey Cantillo than I have of Kode Senga. So I guess that's my pick here. Just because injuries with old pitchers scare the hell out of me. But I was curious your thoughts on like those two like types of profiles and which way you lean. Cause there's, I mean, I could name, I mean, Gerrit Cole falls in the Kode Senga, Grayson Rodriguez falls in the Kode Senga path, but then there's also like a Shane Smith, an up and comer who showed good skills. There's Cantillo, Logan Henderson kind of falls in both, but like, yeah. do you have a kind of lean one way or the other on which type to speculate on?
Yeah, it's a good ADP debate, because it's kind of what we talked about at the start of this, is the pitching pocket. It's a bunch of either like old injured guys or young up and comers. Like, because you can make a case to take a chance for almost anybody in this range at starting pitcher. Almost, not Noah Kammer, of course, but many of the others you can make a conversation for. I like Cantillo. I've always liked Cantillo. Like, for the most part, if I'm gonna have to pick between two, I'm gonna take the young arm that's healthy. Now, given every pitcher can get hurt at the moment's notice. Senga's a guy I think I brought up on like every stream we've done, where it's like, man, I really want to take Kode. He's healthy. Like, we know how good he can be. It was just so bad last year, and you know, all the, you know, sales pitch stuff. Yep. At this price, it's still a great price if you want to take the chance, because if he figures it out for even 100 innings before he gets hurt again or something, that's awesome at 260. Yep. Like, that's a great run. You replace him. It's the thing we talk about a lot, that we kind of have to convince ourselves, you know, yeah, it might be an injury risk, but it's not pick 33, it's pick 260. Like, you can move and shake here.
It's really good point what you said, 100 innings, because I mentioned like 160. I'm thinking full season like projection, but you're right. If you get 100 good innings out of somebody at this point in the draft,
yeah,
mission accomplished.
Most of these guys were going to drop anyways.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to in a 15, like you said, it's around 17 through 20. Maybe it's my 12-team brain, but like, most of these guys aren't going to be there in the end. It's just reality of situation.
Yeah.
So if you can get them for whatever duration you're getting them, it's awesome. Or what if you get this year's Matthew Boyd just hanging out back here? And here you go. So like, Boyd, we had how many concerns with last year? And you're just like, okay, let's just see what we can get out of him. And turned out to be amazing. A lot.
Yeah.
So like, you never know with pitchers. That's just kind of it's the answer everybody gives you, but it's true, is the thing. It's not like we're just being lazy. So that's what makes it so tough, to your point. I still think I take Cantillo. I think what we've seen from him the last couple of years has been really good. Like, the fact he wasn't starting all last year really sucked. It was kind of stupid. I had so many DC shares of him. But, like, the argument for Senga is strong. To me, just, like, if you, like we said, take a step back and be like, okay, I'm not getting the full season. If I get a full season, awesome. I mean, things went really well. Like, but let's just, like, give me till the All-Star break, and we can see what happens. And, like, you can work with it. If you can go in with that mindset, like, that's a mindset that players like the Guilds has, which I try to tell myself I need to embrace more, because you just work with that and it makes a lot of sense. So I'm still gonna pick Cantillo, but I would not be opposed to anybody that picks Kode Senga.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. I'm glad I brought this up because there's different. I mean, there's other. There's like other clones for Cantillo out there later on in this pocket. Robbie yes. Snelling,
the next, my next
debate. Burrows.
Like so. It's coming up.
So yeah,
but and I will say one thing: I would not compare Senga to Gerrit Cole because Gerrit Cole won't start the season. That's the
yeah, that's different. Right.
The Grayson Rodriguez comp is very good because that's Grayson sure. is another guy that I tell myself like if he's even half the guy we've seen when healthy, because when healthy he's been good every time. He just breaks down so quickly. So it's like one of those similar to Senga, again, getting drafted literally at the same ADP right now.
Yep.
Again, give me 100 innings out of Grayson. It's probably pretty good. So it's a tricky spot to be in. But all right, instead of going in circles, we'll go to my player debate here, and it's Parker Messick versus Robbie Snelling. So it's Cantillo's teammate, Parker Messick, who has an ADP of 297, and Snelling technically has an ADP of 297. And this comes down to two young arms that have a lot of hype behind them. Like Messick had a nice 7 starts with the Guardians last year, 2.72 ERA. Strikeouts were a little lower than we saw at the minor league levels, but the dude at every stop of the minors has had basically a 3.5-ish ERA or below. He's had a couple of rough ones early in his career, but the last couple of years has been great. He's also very young, both these guys super young, which is great. But what I loved about Parker Messick last year, 19.4% K to walk with the Guardians, 19% in the minors, above 20% all through 2024. So a lot of the stuff we like to use as kind of gauges, he has handled in spades. And if we continue the lefty narrative from last year, just like Cantillo, he's a lefty. So you got that going for you. Then there's Robbie Snelling, who everybody and their mom is in love with. And for good reasons. Like, really good reasons. He's looked amazing this spring. Like, he threw 3 more great innings on Thursday. So he's had 3 outings, about 5 1/3 innings. He's looked awesome. Like, really, really good. But he's in the minors, he's been outstanding. We're talking about a guy that perennially 23.2, 26, 20.9, 24. Like, his K to walks have been really, really good. The biggest issue is, I guess, his walks. He rotates between like 7% and 9%. So it fluctuates, but still, he'll be 22. Messick was 24. Ratio's been great for Snelling. Messick probably has a job out of camp for sure. Snelling is fighting for a job, which might be their belt barring injuries right now. I go Snelling. I think Snelling has the higher ceiling. The other thing when you look at these two guys, Snelling threw 136 innings last year, so 150 is not out of the realm of possibilities. Parker Messick last year threw close to 140, so they've almost threw the same amount of innings last year, so both of them are stretched out is my point. Like, it's very, very close between the two of them. I take Snelling's upside, but I think they're both awesome. What are your thoughts on Messick for Snelling?
I mean, it all just come, I mean, you cover the skills well. I like them both. It all comes down to who you think starts in rotation, right? Because if the other, you know, whoever doesn't start in the rotation, you're probably dropping. And so who has the better path? And I don't know. I feel like Messick has a better path to at least start in the rotation. Like,
agreed.
I don't agree with what the Marlins did, bringing the sheriff to town, bringing Chris Paddock in, but they did. And Chris Paddock has a job. Max Meyer's pitching well for as long as he can stay upright. Ditto Braxton Garrett. So, you know, maybe eventually both these guys have jobs. I would lean Messick just because I think he's got a better chance to start in the rotation. Again, this is one to watch over the last 3 weeks of spring training, because it can change quickly. Just take whoever has the job, and I fully am on board with taking one of these guys if they have the job, because they're both really good.
Yeah, like the biggest thing for Snelling is I get flashbacks of like the whole Max Meyer garbage last year.
Right. Like, yeah,
kept him Miami down forever, right. Gets a start, then they send him back down to minute monitor his innings, yet he still pitched every 5 days. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
To your point, I got you up. I'm sorry, but they have a track record of messing with this.
They did. Very recent one.
Yeah. And like I said, Snelling's only 22. So it's not like he's an ancient one. He got he made 11 starts at AAA, 14 at AA last year. So still 63 innings at AAA. It's almost half his season, but it feels like they'll find a way to be like, he needs a little more seasoning. That's what it comes down to, unfortunately. So get your fab dollars ready, folks. All right, let's get to targets, Ryan. This is when I saw the outline earlier today, when I put my targets down, when I saw this was your first target to discuss, and yes, his ADP is a lot lower than last year, I'll beat you to that punch. But I want to hear you wax poetically about the skill set.
I mean, I'm not going to wax poetically about Mason Wynn's skill set. When your main reason for being a target is the price, it's like, can't find a good comp for that right now. It's too late in the evening, but whatever. Mason Wynn's price is 282. You were very in on Mason Wynn last year. The price was going the other way last year. It was a little too expensive by the end of spring training. But I just think compared to the other options that you like, he's going behind Carlos Correa. Like, I just think there are really smart people that really like Mason Wynn. And I think you can throw away a lot of last season to the knee injury and playing on it and just didn't really do anything. Now, I don't think Mason Wynn has as much power as folks think he has. But I think this is somebody who can hit for a good batting average, maybe get to double digit homers. And the key will be stolen bases, right? If Mason Wynn's fully healthy, you know, the famous I want to steal 30 stolen bases quote from last year obviously didn't pan out. But again, he was hurt. I think this is a decent chance to get someone that's going to get you speed, hopefully, but can do so with a decent batting average, a ton of playing time, and not hurt you too bad in the power department. I just think that combination of player at pick 280, and hell, there could be a higher ceiling here that we just don't know about because Mason Wynn's only 23 years old. So you kind of have that ceiling aspect here as well. I don't think the odds are very good of Mason Wynn reaching a super high ceiling, but it's within the realm of possibility for a 23-year-old to get a lot better when he's fully healthy. So that's my case, I guess, for Mason Wynn at pick 280. Actually, I like him this year.
I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy to hear that you think there's another level to him. I'm happy to hear that the injury is what did it. I'm just going to keep fabricating what I heard you say. So
hey, I can be on a player, then off a player, then off on a player in different seasons. I'm flexible, my friend.
All right. My first target, we already talked about him, so I won't talk too much longer, but it's Marcus Semien. I am a fan of this price. A couple things I'll just reiterate is, hurt last year, massive price decline from previous. He's like massive price decline. And again, he's older, so maybe it sticks, but the skills are still decent last year when he did play. So it's not like he completely forgot how to play baseball. It just was ugly. It was a bad start, if I remember correctly, and it finished much better. People were like cutting him and everything. But I'll jump back on the train at this price. I gave you my Semien versus Torres feels, but Simeon's a guy I like a lot. If I wait on second base, he's like an upside second baseman. I like giving a shot at 251.
Yep.
Who's your next one? I like this one quite a bit as well.
I've been on this one for a while. Justin Crawford. I think he has the job in Philadelphia, and I think that's I will target prospects who A are cheap and B have a job. Like, I feel like this is a decent time in the draft to do that. I think Justin Crawford could be a potential game changer in stolen bases. Let's see how often the Phillies let him run, but stole 46 bases in AAA last year. I think the hit tool is good enough to where this isn't a pure rabbit. I think Justin Crawford can hit for a decent batting average. I mean, hit .334. AAA last year with an 18% swinging strike. And the biggest thing for Justin Crawford, it was a 7% swinging strike rate. Like, he does not swing and miss very often, at least against AAA pitching, right? It's a totally different game in the majors. But I think the hit tool is good enough. I think the playing time's there. And the stolen base ceiling, I think, is actually quite massive. So that combination at, we know his ADP, but it's somewhere at 277. There he is on the sheet. That combination, I think, is something that I am interested in. And there's risk, right, that obviously it just doesn't pan out for Justin Crawford his first go around against MLB pitching. He gets demoted. Sure, there's risk that he doesn't give you much in power. It's like a 3-4% barrel rate in AAA last year. So don't like that. But I just think, like, this could be, we've talked about Xavier Edwards earlier. This could be Xavier Edwards, whatever number of picks later, 100 picks later.
Yeah, no, I like Crawford quite a bit. I took him in the Listener League auction, and I've been targeting him in 15s where I can find him. I'm fully on board, and so are the Phillies. I think they're really going to stick with him quite a bit. Latest thing I read today is Brandon Marsh just took him under their wing. They carpool everywhere together, even on road trips, apparently.
You read this stuff.
It's all over the place, man. I told you I read on my lunch when I eat lunch in my truck.
I never read anything.
I don't. That's the only time I do. It's the only time I do that when I'm on vacation. That's it. But Brandon Marsh, I guess when the like vendors and other people are coming by for spring stuff, Brandon Marsh gave Crawford money to go buy a suit, so he'd have a suit. He said, "You need to look professional for this, and we'll need it for the playoffs." Is what he told him. Hey, so,
Bubba, digging like, deep here. Look
the at Phillies that. Are very much in on this one, and they're having one of their starting outfielders kind of show him the way.
Wow, but intel
goes along with
Jesus. So, should work for the CIA.
It's not go that far. It's got quite stealth as well, and I don't quite have that. All right, my next target is Logan Ohapi. I mentioned in this range, you have Ohapi. You have Jeffers, you have Stevenson. Like, I'd make sure you finish your catchers here if you haven't already taken a catcher too. And I just want to give Logan Ohapi some more love. Like, I've been very invested in him in years past. Last year, the average dropped to 213. It was a massive BABIP drop from 318 to 267. I think he's more of a 230 to 235 hitter, which projections actually have him at for the most part. What I love to see is he played 119 games. He played injured a lot, also spent some time on the IL. Still at 19 home runs, which was big. And what stands out to me as well is we saw a barrel rate, 13.3%, which is still in line with his previous seasons. A 47% hard hit rate was the best of his career. 112.4% max EV, best of his career. Launching, like all the quality of contact metrics are great. These are all things you want to see as well. X-Stat said he should have been a little better also. The strikeouts aren't great. He's up to almost 31%. That is a definite detriment for Logan Ohapi. But I just want to read, like, this is a guy that people loved going into last year. He had battled injuries, still hit for power, still did things like, you know, not great, but not bad. And he's still super young. And now he's a catcher two, not a catcher one. He's going like 100 picks later than he was last year. So when you talk catcher twos, a lot of them have massive, usually average flaws more than anything. So now you're back in line with Logan Ohapi. And if he figures it out a little bit, you could have like a 235 guy with maybe 25 home runs. And that's tremendous at this point in time.
Yeah. I mean, age 26 guy who was being drafted much, much earlier to your point this time last year, just that general type of profile in terms of buying the dip on someone who's, I don't think washed at this point. Just in general, that seems like a positive probability to happen. So agree. And I like Ohapi more than Stevenson and Jeffers. He's going before them in this pocket, but I think those guys are properly ranked by the market.
Yep. Totally agree. I think it's a nice little pocket if you wait on catching. Who's your next target?
All right. So a couple of months ago we worked on a Bloomboard/article together for the Patreon that basically took swinging strike rate, ball percentage pitchers last 2 months of the season going past a certain ADP and made a bloom board out of it. And then you wrote them all up. And I basically bolded all those guys on my sheets for that reason. I want guys who pitched well at the end of the season below the surface. I don't care about what the surface stats were, are young and are cheap. And Shane Smith was one of those guys. So Shane Smith is my pick. Just finished very strong with the White Sox. In the forecaster, we gave Shane Smith a upside of 3.25 ERA, 200 Ks, which that's aggressive, but hey, that's why they're upside predictions. So I really like the way that Shane Smith finished in terms of the K rate spiked in the second half with more whiffs, with more strikes. And I don't think the White Sox are going to be like terrible this year. So there's some decent win potential and 146 innings thrown for Shane Smith last year. So I don't think there's any workload restrictions at all. Job is safe. I think that combination of everything is nice, despite some rare steak red projections for the ratios, which truthfully, I really don't care about at this point in the draft.
I like Shane Smith a lot. Again, it's maybe more of a 15 play, but I think he just brings a great floor with maybe more upside to your point. Like, he's still young. Rule 5 pick made it happen. Like, there's a lot to like about Shane Smith. I'm kind of, again, surprised he's going this late for what we saw last year. Like, at least the floor he brings to the table. Maybe it's because he's on the White Sox, who knows. But, I'm with you on that one quite a bit. For me, I'll just reiterate again, I have Robbie Snelling on this list. I'm taking the full upside play here. Yeah, does he have a job? Who knows? When I draft in Vegas, hopefully I have a better idea before I take that plunge. But if I'm drafting now, I have no problem taking a late pick on a Robbie Snelling. If you have to drop him, you drop him. But I think the ceiling's pretty, pretty nice with Robbie Snelling. And I'll just, you know, go with what I just rewinded about 15 minutes. And you'll know everything I think about him. Plenty of skill, strikeouts, skills are great. Just give him the job, Miami. Just give him the job.
Give him the job. I'm going to go my last one. This is also on the swing, strike, and ball rate leaderboard from the last 2 months of the season, as is your final guy as well. Yep. So common theme here. I just think this guy combination is one to speculate on late. This is Mike Burrows. I've been chastised for my Mike Burrows calls a little bit this draft season, but I'm sticking to my guns here.
Can't wait to see what his sheet looks like after a performance. Next to Weiss's.
Right. Yeah. It could be pretty rough looking grades on that one. But Mike Burrows was just awesome down the stretch with Pittsburgh last year. Granted, it was in shorter stints, and that's kind of the, you know, if you're going to push back on a Mike Burrows sleeper pick or whatever at 277, I get that. But I do put stock in Houston's ability to develop pitching. They acquired Burrows and paid a decent price to do it. I think he's got the job in Houston, and if the Astros believe in him and I like the skills, I'm gonna take that all day at pick 277 with that upside with Mike Burrows. So I like him a lot.
Yep, like him a lot. He's another one of those, does he have the job question to me? He should, but
I think he does. Yeah.
A lot of hands and a lot of mouths to feed over there in Houston. He should. Something to just keep an eye on just in case, because you know that McCullers should work in the bullpen, but nothing would surprise me these days. All right, my last one's Braxton Ashcraft. You kind of hinted at him. Braxton Ashcraft is in the Pittsburgh Pirates rotation, barring something really crazy here. So first off, that surprises me that his ADP still sits down here at ADP 268 right now. This is a skill set that we both love, as you mentioned, a guy that actually threw between the bigs and AAA last year. We saw almost 120-ish innings, so he could get to 140, 150 just fine. We saw really good ratios throughout his entire career. The K-to-walk skill set we talked about. You mentioned the swinging strike, the second half skills that we wanted to see. Everything lines out great for Braxton Ashcraft. And you know, there's some very smart people that say, like, he's better than Bubba Chandler, potentially. And, like, he's the guy that goes behind the Paul Skeens conversation. Like, I just think Bubba Chandler's pretty good, I think. I think he's just got to figure it out. I think the skills are still very good with Bubba Chandler, but Braxton Ashcraft is pretty, pretty good as well. So, at 268, I took him in tout against you. You actually gave me kudos when I did that in that draft. I will continue to target Braxton Ashcraft the rest of draft season. I'm pretty, pretty, pretty pumped on him.
As you were talking there, Pat made the comment here. I put it up on the screen. Give me all the pitchers in this range. I kind of agree talking through this, man. There's just a lot of... You know, a lot of them aren't going to work out. A lot of them are going to drop, but there's just a lot of talent, a lot of ceiling on the pitching side of this pocket.
Yep. Pat had another comment or question earlier. He says, this chart tells me that I should be grabbing hitters from 200 to 250s and pitchers from 250 to 300 if possible. That is very true.
And that, again, that's the point of these exercises, kind of talk through obviously certain specific players, but in doing so, kind of the macro level of where you want to attack different positions. And I think in general, I agree with that takeaway, Pat. I like the hitters a lot more than the pitchers on our last show from 200 to 250. And it's it is flipped with this group.
Yep, definitely. TDK jumps in. Yep, these arms are good value, boys. Our buys for the possibilities. Yep, full endorse on that one. So this is a range that I'm going to have to make notes on between, you know, last auction buys / reserve rounds, potentially. I think most of these guys will go, but not all of them do. Not all of them do. I know that for a fact.
In the auctions, these guys will go.
I've seen a lot of, at least probably a third of these guys go in the reserve rounds. What? So, yeah, promise.
Let's see. I just pulled up. So, like, Burrows is $3. Ashcraft's $3. So, yeah, we're getting down. Riley O'Brien's $4. Where's like Casey Mize? He's $2. So, yeah.
It's the end
game. This is the end game for sure.
So, keep that in mind. Anthony in the chat says, how far down do you have to research in ADP pockets for NL and AL only?
Very far.
A lot deeper. Pretty much everybody that has a pulse and playing time is what you need in those formats.
Yeah, and admittedly, neither of us play AL or NL only. I used to play the Tout Wars 12 team AL only, and it's just a different game. There's just at the end game of that is just, yeah, you need to be looking at like draft and hold 15 team draft and hold ADP for equivalents for AL and NL only, in my opinion.
Well, and the good thing is we're doing a lot of 12 and 15 talks. Most NL ALs are 10 team leagues. So at least it shrinks down your roster a little bit, but you're still playing with half the player pool. So it's very complicated in those formats. Our buddy Jason Wanick wants to know, where is Manoa? He's trying to make sure the AC is still working in Anaheim right now.
Apparently it's not, given his strikeout to walk ratio so far.
Yeah, he's not scorching hot. Or maybe it is because they're not having to use bat swing and misses to fix that. Right.
I guess they're in Tempe right now, not Anaheim. But they may not even have anything in Tempe either. So
they better have it in Tempe. That's warm. All right, let's talk about some listener questions from the Discord. Dustin Anderson, why is Connelly Early going so high? I agree. I like the skills of Connelly Early. Like Peyton Tolley goes later, I believe. It's just I don't know who's in the rotation. And I love the skills. I have not drafted either one.
Agreed. Just seems like a low chance Connelly Early's in the rotation. And I think I could be wrong, but I think as we get closer and closer to opening day, I think that price will drop because I think folks will realize Connelly Early probably won't be in the rotation. We could be wrong. If Connelly Early is in the rotation, this is a great buy, but just seems like probability of that is low, at least to start the season.
And it's weird. Like it seems like people are starting to push Tolley over Connelly Early, which is another interesting thing to watch the last few weeks as well.
Yeah.
Dustin also wants to know, who is the best player on these boards and why is it Jake Berger? I had a burger for dinner tonight, a really good big burger for dinner tonight. So yeah, it was an honor. No, it's just what they served at the place I was at for my meeting tonight. So a burger is awesome. Like we didn't even talk about it, which is hilarious.
No, we didn't. And he's our cover boy on the show art. So we should give him his due. Projected 26 homers, 240 batting average. Stay healthy, man. He's on the Pilates, not the yoga. He's on the Pilates. He gave up
trying to get the core strength. Trying to get that core strength dialed in, which he needs when he keeps having oblique injuries. So
That's a good. I read something. Like I guess I do read every now and then. I don't know. I think his wife's a Pilates teacher.
Lucky him.
And God damn. And he's switching off from weight training and going into Pilates.
I know. Love Berger. Love him for corner infield whenever you need a guy like – you should hopefully have a first baseman by this point in the draft, but Mr. Berger is still a very, very strong corner infield option. There's the Ben Tidd comment. Now it's just navigating what you guys keep doing. BP.
I'm not even in the chat, dude. I'm here.
You're just loving me suffering. BP, thinking Shane Smith has a chance to best those ERA and WHIP projections. Thoughts?
Yeah, and those ERA WHIP projections are 440 and a 131. WHIP. So I think so as well. And really, in general, I don't really look too much at pitching projections. They're on this board just to kind of show kind of at a macro level where different categories are at, but don't look at pitching projections all that much. It's so noisy. Focus on the K to walk, the swinging strike, the ball rate. That's what I've been doing. And that's how I target these guys, especially late. So yep.
Digsy 92 says, given the prices of saves and drafts, what does Robert Garcia going at pick 255 tell you about people's belief in the projection of 20 saves for him? I think these people are nervous because he had it for a little bit last year and lost it, but
yeah,
it's his world right now. There's not much there in Texas. I've broken it down multiple times for HQ and there ain't much there.
Right. And I agree. I think if you start the season with a job, you may not even be a good pitcher, but like as a reliever, if you have a good stretch of luck, we saw this with Carlos Estevez last year. I don't think he's a good pitcher. He led the majors in saves. Like you can run into a full season or hell, even to your point earlier, if you get a half season of saves out of Robert Garcia, pick 255, awesome. It's not bad. So I just think the fact that Robert Garcia seems like the guy right now that has a ton of value if you need saves, even if he may not be good. And even if he's not good, you can still get by in 40-inning, 50-inning stints and post decent numbers.
Yeah, and like a guy like myself that has a lot of Riley O'Brien, I should probably get more Robert Garcia than Riley O'Brien, to be totally honest, which is pretty rough because Garcia's had his moments of looking pretty strong out there. It's just
And Texas should win some games, unlike the Cardinals.
They should not if they have Andrew McCutchen on a minor league deal and all. But
I know, you see that.
Yeah.
Good for him. Good for him.
Yeah, something like that. All right. Franchise wants to know, is there any targets to look past 300 AL or NL onlys? There's probably quite a few, to be honest, because it's AL and NL onlys. Ryan, any thoughts on that?
I mean, there's like for those, there's a couple. We haven't really talked about like the boring guys. Like, so, I mean, on this sheet, Casey Mize, but like if I'm digging a little bit deeper, and I know this probably isn't deep enough for AL, NL only, but like someone like a Nick Martinez, who I think is going to have a job and pitch and at least have serviceable ratios. Hell, even Verlander, he's going super 100%. Late. Like those types of guys that I don't say Zach Lytle, but like that type of pitcher. But
Chris
like
Bassett, those guys are freaking
exactly worth it. Guys that have jobs and at least are throwing, because I know when I played in AL only, like playing time, you're just looking for bodies that are in there. And I think like a JV, I think a Nick Martinez are good enough to at least be okay. And in late AL NL only, that's being okay is actually very good.
Yeah, I'll say just doing a quick, look through the ADP. It's mainly pitchers that have pulses right now. Like Andres Jimenez is there because he'll play. Luis Rengifo should play. But a lot of these guys, like Jesus Sanchez, should at least platoon Bader. But it's a lot more pitchers than hitters the deeper you go in this setup. Couple more here. Elrod says, can we see a bump in case from Noah Cameron this year?
It's your guy. Speak to your guy.
He's the whip. He's the potential whipmaster if Shota fails this year. Is what that comes down to. I think you can. To what is the $1 million question with Noah Cameron? Like, it's not an elite skill set. I'm not going to deny it, but he learns how to minimize damage. That's something that is a skill in the long run. The thing is, he still had a 20.5% K rate. As long as he didn't strike guys out, like that's still serviceable. He's just. You see a 13% K to walk. We want higher than that. Throughout the minors, though, the dude had a heavy strikeout rate, 28.6, 27.8, 29, 27, 28.3. It's the minors. I get it. But he has shown a propensity to have strikeout stuff throughout the minor leagues that maybe he taps into it this time around. Maybe he decides to pitch to less contact and gets more aggressive around or in different spots of the zone. Still super young. So I think there's a world where we could, yes. Do I want to count on it? No, but I think it's definitely a possibility at his age and what we've seen in the past.
So, I mean, the thing I look at with strikeout potential is swinging strike rate, right? Your league average is like 11.5%. Noah Cameron was at 11.8 last year. So, rough rule of thumb, if you double the swinging strike rate, that can roughly get, that should roughly equate to a strikeout rate. So, last year, Noah Cameron, 11.8% swinging strike could be like a 22% K rate. And he was at 20% last year. In the second half, Noah Cameron had a 12.3% swinging strike rate, better than average.
Preach.
So that could indicate something upwards to 24% K rate. Again, nothing great, but that 24 is at least slightly above average. So that's your, I think, if you're wish casting Noah Cameron, I think that's your avenue is the growth in whiffs in the second half. See, I said something good about Noah Cameron.
Look at that. I'm proud of him. You're gonna end up drafting him, not just watch.
Let's not do that.
Okay. Corbin Young says, why haven't you talked about Mitch Keller yet? Just kidding. Make the positive case for one player you don't like in this range. That's a good one. One player you don't like in this range. How can you make a positive case? Well, you made a positive case for EC Light. You said for EC Light
and
also.
And for Noah
said,
Cameron.
Yeah, it's true. You made two.
My job here is done.
Look at you go. For me, I'll say Alec Baum. It's a guy I think is very boring, but like you want batting average late, he's going to get you batting average. He's going to hit cleanup. He's going to drive in a ton of runs. It's a very boring profile. And if he was anywhere else in the lineup potentially or on a different team, he's complete garbage probably. But batting cleanup for Philadelphia, there's a lot of legs to what he does for you there. So I've learned to accept that with the Alec Boehm.
Very weird to have a cleanup hitter on a really good team being picked 278.
It's because it's a bad skill set. It just works enough on that team. Adam W. says Mike Burrows or Logan Henderson. Just had the choice, and Sonics took Henderson 10 seconds later, so I think I chose unwisely. Sonics is sharp, but Ryan likes the alternative there.
I do too. And actually, Sonics rebutted in the chat. He says that pick was more about diversification than a strong preference. Burrows is one of the most highly rostered players in my portfolio, so I went with Henderson in this draft. I would go Burrows over Henderson.
And then Canton Dog says, for this group of pitchers, what label would you give them? I'll label them reliable and boring. What about you? I think it's more upside oriented.
I feel like it's more ceiling and upside, which is what you want to. You want to take two or three shots at these guys and hope that, you know, that one of them really hits. And I think a lot of these guys have the potential to hit. So again, to kind of wrap up the pocket in general, this is a spot where I want to tab, and especially in the auction, if I'm budgeting out my pitching budget, save a couple $2-3 slots for these guys, because I think there's some ceiling here that's worth chasing.
Yeah, the more we've talked about it, again, that's why I love doing these shows, is kind of you go away from just the actual position, we go into deeper dives into the pockets, that's what we call them, and it opens the eyes. Like Pat said earlier, maybe 2 to 250, focus on hitters, 250 to 300, get some pitchers, and a lot to be said about that. Any other final thoughts, Ryan, as we wrap up our pockets of ADP for 2026?
Oh, man. Always enjoy doing these shows. It sets a five. Hopefully it helps and has helped you guys kind of look at the player pool in a little bit of a different angle. I know it helps us. Sometimes it validates my preconceived notions when I'm making the board for the first time. Sometimes, like tonight, my mind changes a little bit after we talk through it. So hope this series of five shows was helpful for you all for getting ready for your March drafts.
Definitely helpful for me. So hopefully it helped others, as Ryan said. And that means we're just going to be a few weeks away when we come and rejoin you guys next Tuesday, as we maybe get you back in the mode of a Tuesday bloom board like we will be doing in season.
I think we'll go bloom board. We'll do a little listener league theme. We'll do something to kind of cap off whatever the listener leagues, which were awesome over the last 2 weeks of February. So we'll do something like that on Tuesday.
Get you there. And then just a couple more episodes. You're stuck with us. And then it's regular season baseball. But if you need more for your draft season, check out the Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaBloom. As low as $7 a month gets you the entire draft kit, gets you the Discord, gets you everything you need to get you stay up to date and get you ready for your fantasy drafts. And then in season, things will get better. They're like, for right now, you can use the lineup or the draft tracker that Ryan builds, the ADP tracker that Ryan builds, and many other great tools. And regular season has plenty of stuff coming your way as well, from stuff we used in the past and some new stuff as well. So come join us over there at Patreon. Check all that out. But until then, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I am at B. Dientrich. This was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 326. Catch you all next time.